Six Events, CD number 2.
I had the opportunity to share these principles with several of the counselors in the Especially for Youth program administered by the church educational system. And they had some remarkable experiences with the youth who came through the programs that summer. One counselor told of a group of four tough boys who did not want to be there and didn't want to participate in any of the activities. One afternoon, they sneaked back into the dorm room and tried to brand each other with a key heated up by a cigarette lighter. Having broken one of the major rules, they might have been sent home, but the counselor felt that they needed to stay, so she sat them down to try to work through this problem. In her words, "We started to talk about why it was important for them to respect their bodies. It was because they were children of Heavenly Father. He had created them. As we sat and talked about that, I saw a light turn on. They began to understand who they really were, and the walls began to come down. We talked about the peer pressure that had caused them to brand each other. And all of a sudden, one of the young men clued in and started talking to the other three. He said, 'Do you guys understand that this is a problem and that this is why it's wrong?' They finally figured out why they were in trouble and why we were concerned about them." The counselor went on, "I let them stay, and we became really good friends. It was amazing to see that once they finally understood who they were, everything else fell into place for them that week. They started learning during the classes, and at night they would stay up late and read the scriptures together. When they understood who they were, and they understood their relationship with their Heavenly Father, they were finally able to get down on their knees and pray for answers for other questions and concerns that they were struggling with. They had come to EFY with the goal of ruining all of the activities, and by the end of the week, they were talking about how to help each other get on missions." This is the end of the story as given by the EFY counselor. I feel especially fortunate and blessed to have had parents and grandparents who have communicated and affirmed my worth and potential and innate divine nature from my childhood up. My mother's father was Stephen L. Richards, who was an apostle and later the first counselor to President David O. McKay. He was constantly affirming his posterity's true nature. In a general conference address, he expressed it this way, quote, "The eternal spirit of man became housed in a tabernacle of flesh in the likeness of the Father, and the sons of God began life upon the earth. They were not menial nor of low or servile nature. They were of high estate, of the noblest lineage, endowed with the God-given gift of intelligence or the light of truth, the sublime and supreme investiture of both God and man, the eternal verity, which was not created nor made, neither indeed can be. This intelligence not only gave man superiority over all other creations, but even more importantly, it brought him consciousness of his relationship to God and the world, and envisioned for him the purpose and destiny of his life." Close quote. Scarcity versus abundance. These truths have a profound impact on the way we feel toward ourselves and other people. President Brigham Young explained, "When we know ourselves, we know our neighbors. When we know precisely how to deal with ourselves, we know how to deal with our neighbors." Close quote. But if we do not have a deep sense of our true identity, if our basic sense of self comes from other people, we may develop a view of life based on scarcity rather than charity or abundance. A scarcity mentality is the tendency to define oneself in terms of being better than or not as good as another person. It involves the idea that there is only so much to go around, as if there were only one pie out there, and if someone gets a big piece of the pie, that means there is less for everyone else. People with the scarcity mentality have a difficult time being genuinely happy for the successes of others, even family members or close friends. When they see another person receive special recognition or good fortune, it's almost as if something is being taken away from them. They might verbally express happiness for the other person's success, but inwardly they are eating their hearts out, and they know it. Sometimes they even harbor a secret delight in hearing about the misfortunes or weaknesses of others, especially those who others may have regarded as heroes. They're always competing, always comparing.